Chairman. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for temporarily laying this over so we could get our whole group here. I apologize for that inconvenience. Actually, Supervisor Lipscomb and I would prefer, if it would be acceptable to you, Mr. Chairman, to have our partners talk a little bit more about what Emerald Cities is, the initiative. So we're co-sponsors of legislation, but we'd like to ask Pam Fent from the labor union and Sheila Cochran, who's the chair of the Emerald Cities Milwaukee Initiative, just give a very brief presentation about why we think this is a great initiative for Milwaukee County.
And while they're coming up, I would ask the clerk to read the item so that the listening audience
that would help.
Viewing
yeah.
audience would be aware.
Item number one, a resolution establishing a partnership in the form of a memorandum of understanding between Milwaukee County and Emerald Cities Collaborative to help promote environmentally sound green programming in the metropolitan area.
And would you introduce yourselves for our audience?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and thank you. My name is Sheila Cochran. I'm the Secretary-Treasurer for the Milwaukee Area Labor Council. But for the purpose of this conversation, I am very proud to be the chair of the Emerald Cities Collaborative in Milwaukee, representing the Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership.
And I'm Pam Fent, and I work for the Wisconsin Laborers Union, and I'm a member of the steering committee as well.
Thank you. Please.
Well, I, too, have been having a few technology challenges this morning as we've been sitting here. So I'm going to just be very brief. Our local collaborative is a part of a national network, which is a collaborative of very large American cities and communities. We are in the company of Atlanta, Portland, Cleveland, and a few others, Los Angeles to be noted. And there are 10 total Emerald Cities in the network. This collaborative is a collaborative of community, labor, our national partners, and others. And we're coming to you today to just briefly, as Chairwoman Dmitrievich said, to just kind of let you know that we've been around for a little while. We're about to go into phase two, as a matter of fact, which means that we have been funded for a staffer, and he is with us, Mark Kesnich. Our committee and local group is established. I chair the group. I am there with partners Lyle Balistrieri from the Laborers Union, Mike Fabishak from the AGC, Pam Fent, who is with us today, Randy Berth and Earl Buford from WRTP Big Step, and Joel Rogers, who is our national advisor. And we also have another staffer who is not with us today. For the past year, we've been working with Milwaukee County to build a formal relationship and to bring national and local expertise to the county and bringing a sustainable approach to addressing its facilities, its infrastructure needs, and to ensure that we address the skills and the workforce needs of the county in a way that builds Milwaukee County as a leader in creating great jobs. We look forward to working with the county, and we look forward to working with your very apt sustainability director, Steve Keith, who I will say, and the one thing that I really need to emphasize here is our national steering committee will bring the technical assistance that we think will assist you in going further with the projects that I know that are very near and dear to the heart of Chairwoman Dmitrievich in the green print that she had already started here and that you have supported. I will add to that the city has started its own programs like ME2 that you are aware of, I think, and the county has as much to benefit for this as the city does. More so, I understand that you have over 400 pieces of building stock, and a lot of that building stock, much like my home in Milwaukee, are old and they need some retrofit. You've started to do a lot of things here that I think that the taxpayers can benefit from eventually in savings. And I think that if we go forward with this, and I hope that we do go forward with this partnership, that we can realize even more so. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Fent, do you have comments you'd like to add?
I'll just briefly add that, as Sheila mentioned, over the past year, we've been exploring ways to partner with the county and support the initiatives of the Green Print to go further and deeper in creating energy savings and creating green jobs. And so we had national technical advisors in from different cities around the country who are experts in things about how to finance these types of improvements and how to really make sure that you're not just picking the lowest hanging fruit, but that you're really doing deep, lasting retrofits on county building stock. And so essentially this memorandum of understanding just serves to solidify that relationship so that the flow of knowledge and best practices from places around the country are available to Milwaukee County.
Thank you. Questions of either Ms. Cochran, Ms. Finn? By committee, Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually don't have any questions. I want to ask to be a co-sponsor of this piece of legislation. And if it's appropriate for me to also ask for unanimous consent in the affirmative for other items that were voted on before I got to the meeting today.
Sure. Is there an objection to that?
Sure, I'll object.
If not, so ordered.
Thank you.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, wish to be added as a co-sponsor, and I have no questions for our guests. Thank you very much.
Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm wondering what the organization feels it can bring to the county that our own, Mr. Keith and his department can't do on their own right now, with the focus of energy savings and green.
I could just briefly say right now we're looking at bringing additional funding mechanisms in, but Chairwoman Demetriou, can you give more details?
Yeah, let me add some things here. Thank you, because I wanted them to give the introduction. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, let's face it, we still have not been able to hire a full-time sustainability director. I know the county executive is working very, very diligently on that, but as of today, Steve Keith is still a half-time sustainability director, and although we've achieved a lot, think of what we could do if we had a little bit more time and resources. This enables us to be part of a national network. I mean, when we're talking about rebranding and moving this county forward, being designated as an Emerald City and having access to all this technical support in this network and grant opportunities, Stephen Keith has already brought down hundreds of thousands of dollars in grant opportunities. Imagine if he could have a network that he could tap into. Let's face it, other cities and counties are already doing this. Those other 10 that were listed are well ahead of us. Let's be part of a progressive network that moves forward and be on the frontier, the front side, rather than the latter part and be the last ones. And that's what this will allow us access to be part of a partnership and a collaboration. So doing that and making more better use of our resources, I can't see a single negative in that.
Ms. Fent mentioned about bringing additional funding options. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of what those would be?
Sure, and actually we have a real one right now. Do you want to talk about that opportunity?
Sure.
We're already applying for something right now that's due, I think, in the next week or two. And again, with a half-time person, Steve Keith barely has the time to even write. We know these grants take a lot of time, and I think that we're missing out on a lot of opportunities. One other thing, too, as we're looking at the next step of the green print, I've talked about it. It's going to be green print version 2.0. I'm still working on it, and I'll be offering it to you all in the near future. What's the next step? We've done a lot here when we talk about low-hanging fruit and energy savings. What this really gets at is job creation. We already know that Milwaukee County is the engine of the state of Wisconsin when it comes to job creation, and the new thing now in job creation, not so new, is green jobs. We want to be a leader. We want to be on the forefront of these as we move forward with green jobs and renewable energy. We want to be a leader there, and I think this will help. So Pam's going to talk about that grant opportunity.
We've been meeting with Mr. Keith and research staff to research this ahead of putting together this MOU to see about a possibility with the National Funders Network that's specifically supporting municipalities, either cities or counties, that already have an approved sustainability plan. Milwaukee doesn't have that right. The city of Milwaukee doesn't have that right now. The county does in terms of green print. And so looking to add on to provisions of the green print would be something that could be accomplished through this grant proposal. So we're looking into that partnership opportunity. And even more importantly, one of the technical assistance providers within the Emerald Cities Network put together a major financing plan using qualified energy conservation bonds, which the county's never tapped. So we'd like to bring those experts in to help explore what the county could do in terms of a bonding opportunity rather than having to pursue their retrofit work through loans.
Is one of the ways that you like to promote, or the Emerald Cities organization wants to promote funding of these projects, is through excise taxes on electricity bills and things like that?
That's not anything that the Milwaukee Emerald Cities Collaborative is looking at, no.
But the this national network that you are part of, that's one of the things that they're advocate or promote?
In any of the informational sessions I've been to about that, no, I haven't been. That's not anything that we've talked about in any of the national TA meetings that I've been a part of.
Okay. When I looked, when we got this on our agenda, it was curious to me that we just had the resolution and no report or any history information, so I went on the website and I took a look at this. The Emerald Cities Collaborative, and when you read the mission statement, it talks more or less. I'm just going to be very blunt here. I always am. Why should I not be today? I think that really we're being sold a ruse here and a bill of goods, because if you take a look at the website for the Emerald Cities, there is probably less than 2% of the content of that website dedicated to energy conservation and strategies that you would normally consider in, you know, as green initiatives. And when you read the title of this resolution, on the surface it seems like, well, we're looking at energy conservation ideas and things like that. But the Emerald Cities website is pretty much 100% almost devoted to organizing labor. It's made up of community activists and things, and it's promoting only union companies versus non-union companies. In fact, it's very specific. It applies to what it calls a high road firm, which really is one that they mean has union labor, versus what they call a low road firm, which is one that is non-union labor. And then they go through and say that, you know, the low road firms compete chiefly on price reduction, usually by sweating labor. Talks about the distribution of the social surplus, the shared prosperity. Now, these are all causes that somebody can advocate for, but really, I mean, I see very little motivation here, to sell this as being a focus on energy efficiency just is not true. If this looks like anything but energy efficiency, it talks about for innovative policies, for example. It does say that we should have excise taxes on electricity as a way to fund a lot of these requirements. That's very clearly right listed on their website. It talks about all these projects should be done with project labor agreements. I mean, these are all, everything designed here is very pro-labor movement, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that, but then let's really say what this is. I mean, this isn't the Green Initiative. This is basically an organizing program for the unions. Then it says that there really isn't a demand for this type of work, but it gives you a toolkit on how to create the demand. And so if we're going to look at ways if we want a job creation program, which we already have, it was in last year's budget Supervisor Lipscomb put forth, which we're spending $1 million or $2 million on, I mean, this really is a whole other deal. I just think that we're being sold a bill of goods here. This has nothing to do with energy savings and efficiency. And it's aptly named Emerald Cities because when you pull away the curtain and see who the real Grand Oz is, it's all a ruse.
Ms. Fenn?
Yes. There's a National Emerald City Steering Committee, and they have a lot of ideas, and each locality is able to pick and choose from a menu of programs, services, and policy directions. I have to disagree with your definition of what high road means equals union. It means a job that has a family-sustaining wage, offers health care coverage, and access to training. That's our definition. And so to characterize it the way you are, when there are groups like Youth Build and LISC and the Community Action Program agencies as part of the steering committee, I think that you're kind of misrepresenting. You're looking at a subset of the list on the, you're pulling out specific pieces from the national platform. What we've talked about for Milwaukee Emerald Cities is looking at a state of Delaware style qualified energy conservation bond financing mechanism that would put Milwaukee County in the driver's seat for helping to fund the energy retrofit of municipal buildings. Now, if that funding source that Milwaukee County would control had the ability to expand and do what they call the complete swath of MUSH buildings, municipal, university, schools, and hospitals, we could lower the carbon footprint of this area while creating jobs. Yes, there's a job creation component, but it's not, it's to figure out the policies and then the changes that would be needed in order to conserve the energy, but somebody has to put in the programmable thermostat. Somebody has to switch out the light bat. Someone has to switch out the HVAC systems if that's what's determined to be needed on a building-by-building basis. So what we're advocating for is a technical assistance relationship with some of the experts on this. At the national level, it's not a cookie cutter. When you sign on as an Emerald Cities community, you're not saying we take the full platform. We've not talked about excise taxes. It's not on our radar screen. It's not on our agenda. What's on our agenda is trying to take the Milwaukee County Green Print, which is a laudable model, and make it better. And we think that we could assist in doing that.
Excuse me. I guess my concern is I don't want to see the Green Print program, which was put in place, you know, mainly as an energy conservation program, and see it driven by trying to set goals purely set for job creation, because then I think we're going to lose the focus, and instead of doing sensible projects that are actually going to save money, we're going to be doing projects just to create jobs. And so I'm afraid that throughout all the buildings that we have in Milwaukee County, we're going to slide into this mode where we start making efficiencies on these buildings, not because they make sense from a practical standpoint, but because look at all the jobs we can create. And then we're going to have to generate money to pay for all these jobs. And where is the money going to come from? It's going to come from the taxpayer's pocket, because whether you get bonds or whatever types of funding that you're talking about, it still has to be paid back. I mean, bonds aren't free. We still have to pay them back. So all of that comes out of the taxpayer's pocket.
Well, it comes out of the energy savings that are achieved when the retrofits are done on the building.
Well, and there's a question, though, about that, because for as long as I've been on this committee and we've gotten reports on these energy savings, yes, there are upfront energy savings, but by the time you look at, in fact, we've never really had a clear audit done to say that by the time we've reaped enough in energy savings to pay for the cost of the improvements, those improvements are shot and have to be replaced again. So the question is, you're really not saving money, because all you're doing is putting in things that you might not necessarily do. But we are saving energy, and there is something to be said for that. I mean, that's a good cause. But, again, I don't have a problem. You know, and you talk about people have to be there installing these thermostats and things in the building. I mean, that's fine. But why do we have to do them with project labor agreements and things like that? And that is really what this whole website looks at. In fact, I would ask that my fellow committee members, before we vote on this, that everyone take the time really to take a look at the website and look at the goals. I mean, read the mission statement and read the goals and read the ECC's high road strategy. There is nothing, very little, if anything, on this website that has to do with energy savings and efficiencies. It is all union labor organizing and things like that. And I mean, this is...
If I could interject, I think the point has been made and rebuttal has been had. And there's been a differentiation offered between local efforts and those of the national organization. We could debate this, I suppose, until sunset. I'm not too sure what purpose that would serve. I'd like to field other questions from other committee members, supervisors.
Well, if I can just make one last comment, Mr.
Sure.
Chairman. I think that, you know, before we can vote on something, we should know exactly what we're getting. And I would like to see a plan put forth by the local Emerald Cities on exactly what their vision is on how we're going to make these improvements to the county buildings, which buildings are going to be decided on that improvements are needed, how they're going to be funded, and exactly what type of work we're going to do. And so I move that we lay this item over until we can get a more complete report as to what really the goals and intentions and expectations of this collaborative effort are.
We have a motion to lay over before us. Supervisor Lipscomb?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would oppose the motion to lay over, and I would respond to that suggestion in this way. I think that what's in front of you is a proposal to become more engaged in this collaborative and to become part of that process and to look at the additional resources that are available to us, and that those items would then come back to this body to the extent that we were able to receive a grant. We'd have the terms of that in front of us, and we would, item by item, project by project, we will accept or reject that. But to say we're not going to be engaged, we're just going to sort of hold you off there and hope that you come to us with suggestions that are good, but we don't want to actually really engage with you, I think that's the wrong approach. I mean, part of my interest in this is the extent to which they have resources and models and experience that we can draw from the other cities and from those partners. And that's something that is, you know, as much as I appreciate what's been done with the Green Print and the staff that we've had working on this, we've got some shortcomings in terms of the capacity that we have internally. So we need to reach out and draw in some additional partners and partnerships. And I recognize that in any partnership, there may be elements of those partners where you are able to work together, and other elements where you disagree on some things. And so, to the extent that we can work together and draw in resources, that's my interest in this partnership. I think in any partner. I'm sorry.
On the layover, Supervisor Alexander.
Mr. Chairman, I actually had more questions before we voted on the layover. May I?
I'd like to proceed with the layover first and then go back to the questions from committee. If there are no further questions on the layover, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
No.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Harris?
No.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stamper?
No.
Mr. Chair?
No.
3 ayes, 4 noes. The item is before you.
On the item, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I saw this on the agenda and took a look through the resolution, I was excited, and I thought this sounded like a good idea. And, you know, who isn't for saving money and making things greener and helping the environment and that sort of thing? One of my hesitations is that in my experience on this committee so far, as well as on the Finance Committee and on this board as a whole, we usually give a lot of scrutiny to any kind of contracts or memorandums of understanding, you know, asking not only what is in it for us, but to what are we exactly agreeing. And I was surprised that there wasn't a copy of an MOA attached to this resolution. I'm wondering if anyone here today has a copy of the proposed MOA that we would be agreeing to.
I guess the question is, was there an MOU included with the item?
There was not.
There was not.
It was only on the
one. We could certainly circulate some examples of what other cities have.
Yeah, I would appreciate seeing a copy of that MOA or MOU that's being proposed, or something similar to what would be proposed. Thank you. my next question would be, I see on the website, I have it on my computer in front of me right now for the Emerald Cities Collaborative, that there's several cities listed that are already involved in this. Atlanta, Cleveland, LA, but Milwaukee is actually listed on here already, New York, Oakland, etc. I'm curious if there's any cities or counties, municipalities, what have you, that has been approached by Emerald Cities or had such a hearing as this and decided not to go forward with an agreement, and if so, what their reasons might have been.
Not to my knowledge. Anyone who would like to respond to that? Good. Ms. Fant, are you perhaps best equipped to do that?
To my knowledge, the conversations proceed the bringing forward to the body for the approval, and there's a sense among, you know, the right staff and elected officials that this is a relationship that they want to turn to. The city of Milwaukee did work with Emerald Cities in getting the new two program established, and that was the nature of that relationship.
I think in a broader sense it would be very difficult to establish a negative response on the part of any governing body. I don't know how those would be recorded or reported.
Fair enough. My other comment was just that in hearing Supervisor Sanfilippo's comments a few minutes ago, you know, framing this more as something other than simply a green initiative, I was a little skeptical, and I thought, well, you know, their webpage doesn't seem to say that. I looked at the mission and so forth. Going straight to the Emerald Cities Collaborative webpage, there's a menu bar across the top with different subheadings. Just going straight to policy, so it's one click from the main webpage, what I find is innovative policies, and item number one is about public benefit funds and giving an example of establishing $125 million per year through an electric utility excise tax. So, you know, I just wanted to bring up that I was very skeptical at first when I heard this because I, you know, seeing it on the agenda, I thought, oh, well, this is easy to support. But seeing that as item number one right in the forefront of the webpage does bring a little bit of concern to mind that maybe that's not so off base of a comment to be made. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamper, you wanted to be recognized?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look at this resolution as an opportunity for resources, energy conservation, and also green jobs. There's a lot of green activity going on in my district. Although the supervisor does present some concerns in relation to the tax portion, you know, I think all that will be presented in the future. This is the future. This is how the world is going. I think Milwaukee will benefit from this initiative and from the amount of resources that this will bring us to. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Carrick, do you mind, Supervisor Lipscomb?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I only have one copy of it that was in my own file, but I do have an example of the Cleveland. It's a very brief sort of MOU. If that would be of interest to anyone.
Well, I think that to distribute that prior to board day, should this pass, would be appropriate so that folks will have a fully informed decision to make, or at least more fully informed.
I'll certainly do that. Thank you.
Supervisor Stamper.
Yes, please add me as a co-sponsor, please.
Supervisor Stamper has to be added as a co-sponsor. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just want to add my two cents as far as, you know, bringing in a jobs portion. As many people that are out of work right now, I don't think this should be an option that we're trying to debate whether or not this is going to create jobs or not. People need jobs, and I think this initiative is going to support that, whether, however anyone looks at it. It's just, to me, it just totally frustrates me that we would even make that an issue when you have people working minimum wage jobs in our community at $7.25 an hour, and we can't even support an initiative, number one, that's going to help with our saving energy, and then, you know, creating, you know, livable wage jobs where people can actually live off them and pay their bills. I think this is absurd that we even look at something to say, well, and even try to vote against it because it's creating jobs. That makes no sense to me that we even have that argument.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move approval.
We have a motion to approve. Is there further discussion by committee? Supervisor Sanfilippo.
I guess it would be nice to know exactly what it is we are approving and actually see not just an example of a memorandum of understanding, but the actual MOU between Milwaukee County and the Emerald Cities organization, and hopefully that would spell out, you know, some detail to answer some of these many unended or unanswered questions. So I would offer an amendment that says we approve it subject to the MOU coming back for us to final approve the actual MOU itself. Right now this is enter into a memorandum of understanding. We should at least know what it is we're approving instead of just blindly approving something without knowing exactly what it is.
Supervisor Lipscomb?
Mr. Chair, I'd offer that we can circulate an MOU that they have developed that's for Milwaukee's collaborative, and that could be done before board day. And I would suggest that if it didn't meet approval or something at that point, that would be an appropriate caveat at that time. But that I think by the time this comes to the board, you'll have that in front of you to review specifically.
That's acceptable to me, I think, as long as we see it before board day so we know exactly what it is that we're looking at.
Right, are you essentially withdrawing the amendment?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me withdraw my amendment then.
Okay, very good. With that understanding, the item is before us. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
No.
Harris?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 no. The item is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Cochran, Ms. Fett, good to see you. Thank you for your efforts. We'll now move back to item number 11.